Fanon Radio is your non-commercial, non-profit, member-supported underground radio station.
Powered by the SDF Public Access Unix System.
It's 1900 UTC, and that means it's time for That's News to Me. I'm your host, DJ Marcus. Let's see what's happening in the world today.
Well, hello. Welcome, one and all. It's February the 19th, 2024. And it's 1913 UTC. Oh, I'll stop this song. It's 1913 UTC. I'm a little bit behind, as you can tell. But hey, it's all right. There's a lot of news. Today's the thing. But you know what? We're not here to talk about me. We're here to talk about the news. There are a lot of things going on, a lot of death and destruction, and a lot of, one of the things that happened over the pandemic, really, and with the George Floyd protests and everything, is it really got me mad and got a lot of, like, anger towards the police and establishment and kind of dealing with race and racism, dealing with my own internal stuff, and it just creates a whole mess of emotions and feelings. But I don't know. Anyway, I still don't think the police as an organization are a good thing, but this is still a sad story. In Minnesota, we've got a couple of deaths of, got a sad death of some cops and then a good death of a cop, I guess. The widow of one of the police officers killed in a shooting in Minnesota has said he was the most generous, loving, patient person I've ever known. Paul Elmstrand, 27, was shot dead at a home in Burnsville on Sunday alongside another officer and a paramedic. The gunman had barricaded himself inside with seven children and opened fire as police were trying to negotiate. One other officer and a paramedic died in the incident, which followed a domestic abuse call in the early hours of the day. Mr. Elmstrand's wife, Cindy Elmstrand Castruita, told the BBC's U.S. partner CBS, "I think he just had to be the hero. He had to do what he thought was right to protect those little lives, even if it meant putting his at risk, and it breaks my heart because now he's gone. But I know he thought what he did was right." I think you'd say that on a lot of people. Uh-oh, excuse me. Sorry about that. I just ate and I haven't drank enough water, I guess, today. I'm all stuffed up. Excuse the drinking noises. I'm drinking some emergency. All right. So what happened? Well, state authorities said officers were called about 1:50 a.m. to the address in central Minneapolis. They were responding to a report of a domestic situation involving an armed man. The responders later learned seven children between age 2 and 15 were barricaded in the property with the guy. The attacker opened fire, killing the three victims and inflicting non-life-threatening injuries on a fourth policeman. Details of exactly what happened next are not yet clear. Though SUPT, I don't know what that means, but SUPT Evans confirmed that the police did return fire. So that's nice to know that after the guy with kids hiding behind kids shot at the cops, they decided it was okay to shoot at the kids. Anyway, the guy was found dead at 8 a.m., which left other inhabitants at the home able to escape unharmed. The wife learned of her husband's death on Sunday morning after waking up and seeing a text from her friend saying that she was sorry what she was going through. "I looked out my bedroom window and saw a squad car there," she said. That's when I knew he was gone. Neighbors on the quiet residential street described their fear as the incident escalated. The incident came just days after another mass shooting in another Midwestern state. whatever. Anyway, it's everyone besides the wife of the murdered policeman, all was talking about how it made them feel to see somebody else be murdered. And don't care. All right. So, yeah. So, anyway, it's just a sad kind of thing where a couple cops got killed trying to save some kids. But don't worry, there's plenty of other bad cops or just dumb cops. In Tennessee, a deputy who was texting and driving and talking on the radio while lost drove into a river and died, and also killed somebody that he had arrested. That's right. The body of a Tennessee deputy who disappeared after making an arrest has been recovered hours after his patrol vehicle was pulled from the river. The body of a woman handcuffed in the back seat was also recovered in the vehicle, which was found submerged in the Tennessee River, officials say. Authorities have been searching for the deputy after he failed to respond to a status check after taking someone into custody about 10 p.m. Leonard's patrol vehicle was found and pulled from the Tennessee River on Thursday. His remains are currently being escorted to Knoxville Regional Medical Examiner's Office by motor units. Authorities are working to identify the woman. They've already identified her. I just don't have the updated story right here. But it was a mom who's married and she had some kids. And none of them are going to have a happy Christmas or whatever, happy rest of their life. The County Sheriff's Department is in contact with the suspected deceased individual's family. We will release her identity after the Forensic Center has made identification and the family's notified. On Wednesday night, shortly before 10 p.m., Leonard had responded to a report of a man and woman fighting on a bridge and had taken the woman into custody. He was driving to the county jail when the sheriff's office lost communication with him and he failed to respond. One of the deputy's last communications was a text to his wife that said arrest. His wife texted back, "That's good," or "That's great." But we do know that his phone did not receive that text message. At nearly the same time, Leonard made a radio communication to dispatch. Dispatch wouldn't tell what he was saying. We think he was saying water. The search led authorities to a landing near a bridge at a Tennessee River. It was upside down with the wheels up, filled with mud. The driver's side window was down. The license plate confirmed it was his patrol car. Jill said the landing can be treacherous for those not familiar with the area. Let's see. He said, "We're operating under the theory that it was an accident. He missed his turn, he wasn't familiar where he was, and he was doing other things that may have caused him to go in the water." Another story I read, it was great because they were like, he was texting and driving while lost and driving recklessly in the middle of nowhere and crashed into a river. Anyway, yeah. These guys are not... I don't get why they're treating him like he died in some heroic effort trying to save some kids from a shootout or something. This guy didn't have any reason being a policeman. Anyway, don't worry, there's other death and destruction. Papua New Guinea ambush. Dozens shot in Highlands region. Dozens of people have died in a tribal dispute in Papua New Guinea's remote Highlands region. The victims were shot dead during an ambush in the Inga province over the weekend. The Highlands area has long struggled with violence, but these killings are believed to be the worst in years. An influx of illegal firearms has made clashes more deadly and fueled a cycle of violence. Hey, X1, welcome. Thrig's in the house too, welcome. Oh, Thrig points out it's likely or it's possible, since he was a new cop, he didn't know that the car doesn't automatically go over the river like in the Duke's Hazard. X1 points out he died on the job. That's true. That makes sense. Good point. Authorities initially said at least 64 people died, but later reports said they'd miscounted and revised the total down to 26. Big difference. Police started collecting bodies at the scene near the town of Wabag, about 600 kilometers northwest of the capital. This is by far the largest killing I've seen in Inga, maybe in all of the Highlands as well. Royal Papua New Guinea Constabulary SUPT, George Caucus told the Australian Broadcasting Corporation. So, lots of death. So this is a weird one. I'm not sure how to feel about it. No punishment for man who tried to drown his pregnant girlfriend in a Malaysian condo pool. And that's just a pool at the condo building. A man who dragged his pregnant girlfriend by her hair into a condominium pool in Malaysia to try and drown her will avoid punishment after she decided against pressing charges. The incident happened on February 15th at around 3 p.m. at the De La Tour condo in Bandar Sunway, Selangor, said Subang Jaya District Police Chief Wan Aslan Wan Mamat on February 17th. The woman didn't suffer any injuries and also declined medical assistance. She had initially lodged a police report before deciding not to press charges against her partner. Both of them are not Malaysians. The police said they have closed the case. In a viral video that racked up millions of views since it was circulated online, the man wearing visibly drenched clothes can be seen approaching an equally soaked woman by a swimming pool. After exchanging words with her, he grabs the woman by her hair from where she was sitting and drags her to the pool with him. During a brief struggle in the water, she resists his attempts to keep her head underwater, and he soon backs away from her. According to the man who posted the video on social media platform Reddit, according to the man who posted the video on Reddit and wanted to remain anonymous, his friend witnessed and recorded the incident. He had heard screams that prompted him to look out of his balcony at De La Tour, where he saw the man repeatedly punching a woman. But she didn't want to press charges, and that's how it works there. So, sad times. Hopefully it's not an abusive thing. She can get away. At least one person was killed in Indianapolis at a Waffle House. Waffle Houses are known for being rough, but at least one person was killed and five others wounded in a shooting at a Waffle House in Indianapolis early Monday morning, capping a weekend of U.S. gun violence days after a deadly mass shooting at a celebration for Kansas City's chief, the Super Bowl parade shooting. Indianapolis police said they went to the Southside Waffle House about 12:30 a.m. after six people were shot. The violence began as an altercation between two groups, but it wasn't immediately clear if any victims fired shots. Police said a woman taken into hospital in critical condition had died while three men and one woman were recovering from bullet wounds. What preliminary information we have is that there was a disturbance that turned into a fight between two groups of people. According to Don Weilheimer, to the local Fox affiliate, at least one handgun was recovered. Another gun was recovered from a car. The shooting came soon after two police officers and a firefighter paramedic were fatally shot, and another was injured responding to a domestic call in Burnsville, Minnesota. I don't know why they're tying them all together. It's like they're hundreds of miles away from each other. Anyway, yes, the U.S. is riddled with bullets. Who knew? What else? We got other death and destruction. This coming to us from Australia, the land down under. Sydney lightning strikes. Four people knocked unconscious and train network faces delays. Oof. This is a great map. I'm going to share it with Calm here. If you go to sdf.org/l/1mp. sdf.org/l/1mp, like Mike Papa, sdf.org/l/1mp. That will show you the map of the lightning strikes that were going on at the time of this event. And wow, there's just so much lightning and so much rain. It's wild. Anyway, four people have been taken to hospital with burns after being struck by lightning in Sydney's Botanical Gardens. A spokesperson for the New South Wales Ambulance said the quartet was standing underneath a tree when struck at about 12:45 p.m. on Monday. Multiple crews treated the patients, including a teenage boy, a woman in her 20s, and a man and woman both in their 30s. The four were knocked unconscious when struck by the lightning, but regained consciousness shortly afterward. Whether the injuries were sustained from direct lightning strike or from being under the tree where it was hit remained unclear at the point, said the spokesperson. The teenager and the woman in her 20s were taken to the Royal Prince Alfred Hospital. The older man and woman were taken to St. Vincent's Hospital, where everyone's in stable condition. Let's see. Yeah, so that's about the story there. Pretty interesting, if you ask me. I was just like, oh, wow. Lots of lightning. Interesting to get four people hit all together. And an American man has admitted to raping and murdering a tourist on the trail of a famous German castle. An American man on Monday admitted to two charges of murder and rape after he allegedly pushed two U.S. women down a ravine, fatally injuring one of them near Germany's Neuschwanstein Castle last year. It's Neuschwanstein. I'm just going to call it Neuschwanstein. Castle. The 31-year-old defendant admitted to the charges during the start of his trial. The German news agency DPA reported, defendants in the German legal system do not formally enter pleas to charges. The defendant has committed an infallible crime, defense lawyer Philip Mueller said in a statement. The defendant, whose name hasn't been released in line with privacy rules, confirms that his lawyer's statement was correct, but didn't answer any questions. The defendant is charged with murder, rape with fatal consequences, attempted murder, and possession of child pornography. Murder charges carry a maximum sentence of life in prison in Germany. The attack happened on June 14th last year near Marienbrück, a bridge over a gorge close to the castle that offers a view of Neuschwanstein, one of Germany's most famous tourist attractions. Prosecutors say the defendant met by chance the two female tourists on a hiking path and lured them off the trail. They said in a statement that he apparently first forced the younger woman to the ground and tried to undress her. When the elder woman tried to help her, she's a whole year older, and they're like, the elder woman. A scuffle ensued, and the suspect pushed her down a steep slope. She fell 50 meters and sustained a head injury. The suspect then allegedly strangled the younger woman until she was unconscious and raped her. Prosecutors said, before pushing her down the slope as well, she died. So yeah, pretty terrible stuff. The women were both over 18, they're in their 20s, so the child sex abuse material that he had was from somewhere else. Oh, Tobe, make sure to never stand near or under lightning rods. That's probably a good point. That's a good idea. Avoid standing on or in or attaching yourself to lightning rods. Oh my gosh, we've only got a couple of seconds to go before the dubious goals can be with Tobe. So...